Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast.
All right, everyone, you can get out your Bibles or your digital devices that have a Bible on it. Whatever it is you prefer to use, physical copy, digital copy, either way, this is the Word of God, full of truth, and capable of teaching and guiding us through life. Amen? Amen. We are looking for Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. I'll give you a second to look that up. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. And when you find it, I want you to stand. And we will read this together, out loud. It'll sound very mumbly and like a honeybee's nest, very loud and obscure, but we're going to read it anyway because it is the Word of God. And then I will also read it by myself after. So, Matthew 28, 18, when you've got it, stand up, and we will read this together. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." You may be seated. Thank you. Let me read this to you one more time, just so that we can all hear it in case the mumbling was too overwhelming for you. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." I want to ask three very simple, basic questions. Sunday school style questions. Who has the authority? Based off of the scripture, who has the authority? Jesus. Good. Question number two. How much authority does he have? A little or a lot? All of it. All authority. Question number three. Can we therefore trust him? Yes. Good. So I'm glad we agree on all that. Very simple questions. Now here's the fourth question. I said I was going to ask three, but I'm actually going to ask four. Do we always do this perfectly? No. No, we don't. Sometimes we doubt the authority of Jesus, and it is so much easier sometimes for us to try and take matters into our own hands and do things our own way. Rather than go to the authority who is Jesus with whatever particular situation we're in, we say, "I'd like to deal with this on my own, and I'm going to do this my own way." Does that work out for us very well? No, of course not. And so we all have different struggles, whatever they may be. We struggle with things like temptation. Sin is tempting us towards something that we know is not good for us. And rather than go to the authority of Jesus, we go, "I'm going to try and fight this temptation on my own." And what ends up happening is it usually takes control and we fail and we fall short of that glory of God. Sometimes we struggle with sin or guilt, the weight of guilt, the sins we've committed in our past, and we just feel weighted down and we go, "I can't be free of this." And so instead of going to the authority of Jesus where he says, "You are free from this," we wallow in our guilt and self-pity and say, I'm not good enough and I'm still stuck," and you stay exactly where you are. Some of us worry about having enough. We get anxious about having enough provision. Maybe it's enough food or enough money or enough whatever it may be. And we'll have anxious thoughts about having enough supply or having enough provision. And rather than go to the authority of Jesus and get him to come in and give as he wants to do, we go, "I'm going to try and do this on my own. I'm going to try and get enough for myself. And I'm going to work so hard, and burn myself out." Some of us, our struggle is our purpose. We are going through life wondering, "Why am I here? Why do I exist?" And you may be feeling like there is none. And you've tried different things, whether it was a career, a relationship, or some other thing, and it's not working out, and you're saying to yourself, I have no purpose. And so instead of going to the authority of Jesus, who says, here's your purpose, it is to serve me and to love me and to worship me, we try and do things on our own, and we fail and discover, oh, there's no purpose, I have no worth, and we wallow in that. Some of us, maybe we're facing an impossible situation. Our marriage is falling apart. Or maybe we're going through financial struggles. Our kids are not following Jesus. Whatever the impossible situation might be that you are currently in, instead of going to Jesus, who is the authority, who can come in and say, I will help you, I will guide you, I will help fix this, we go, I'm going to try and do this on my own. And only for things to fall apart and not work out. Some of us are afraid of dying. Death is a universal reality each of us will face. And that thought runs in our minds and causes us to feel anxious, where we just want to live and we don't want to suffer and we don't want to go through that. So instead of going to the authority of Jesus, who says to you, there is hope, there is eternal life for you, we try to extend the life we have to try and avoid as much suffering as possible, only to come to death's door in the end, and it's over, and we have not given our life to him. These are the struggles that some of us may face. And we believe here at this church that Jesus is the authority, that he has authority over all of heaven, over all the earth. And so because of that, we can trust him with our problem, with our struggle, with whatever it is that we are facing. And yet, we struggle to do that, and we doubt the authority, and we try to do things on our own. Let me remind you of a bunch of different examples where Jesus had authority over situations similar to these ones, as well as authority over all the earth. At Jesus' baptism, God the Father speaks, and everyone that's present there hears these words, "You are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." God the Father says of Jesus, "You have authority. You are my beloved Son." We can trust Jesus because God the Father's approval is on him. Jesus, after his baptism, went into the desert and was tempted by the devil. And we learned about this story a couple weeks ago from Pastor Evan. And we see that Jesus takes his stand against the devil and how he uses scripture to speak against him. And so we see very clearly in that story, Jesus has authority over Satan, over the kingdom of darkness. We can trust Jesus when it comes to our own spiritual conflicts. If the devil or demons are tempting you, or you're feeling that spiritual conflict going on, Jesus has authority in those situations. Later on, Jesus comes to who would be his first disciples, and he says to them, "Follow me, I will make you fishers of men." You don't follow someone like that. You don't give up your entire life unless you know that the person you're going to begin following has authority, correct? Jesus has authority. We can follow him. We can trust him with our lives so that when we say, yes, I'm going to follow you, we can trust that he is with us, that he's going to guide us, and that these problems that we have, he will help us along the way. On multiple occasions, Jesus casts out impure spirits and demons and people who are demon-possessed. And so again, we see this same idea. He has authority over the kingdom of darkness. No temptation can overcome us. On multiple occasions, Jesus heals the physical bodies of people who are struggling with blindness, deafness, muteness, paralysis, whatever it is. On multiple occasions, he heals the physical body. Jesus has authority over our physical bodies to heal them. Amen? Amen. On one particular occasion, as Jesus is healing a man who is crippled, he says to him, "Your sins are forgiven." And the Pharisees, they don't like that. They get all upset. And they're like, hey, what do you think you're doing? You can't do that. Only God alone can forgive sins. What's Jesus say? I will prove to you that I have authority to forgive sins. And he tells the man to get up and walk. And he does. Jesus has authority to forgive us of our sins. The guilt, the weight of that guilt that you feel for the sins you've committed, he has authority to forgive you and take that away. On one other occasion, Jesus is in the boat with his disciples, and there's a storm, and the disciples, they're afraid. Oh, Jesus, help us. Ah, we're going to die. And Jesus gets up, and he calms the sea, and he calms the wind. He says, peace, be still. Jesus has authority over the weather. If he has authority over the weather, I think he has authority in our lives to help us. On multiple occasions, Jesus resurrects people from the dead. There's Lazarus. There's a young girl. He raises them from the dead. That's crazy, right? Jesus has authority over death. And we have a future hope in our resurrection. The death that we face is not the end. He has authority over it. On other occasions, Jesus feeds 5,000. He walks on water. He does all kinds of other miracles that demonstrate his power and his authority. And lastly, and we're going to celebrate this coming weekend, Jesus dies on the cross, canceling the power of sin and death. He has victory. And then 3 days later is raised from the dead, defeating death for all time. We share in that when we put our faith and trust in him. He has authority over life. He doesn't just have authority over death. He has authority over life. He grants eternal life to those who place their trust in him. You see, all these different examples, they all point to exactly what Matthew 28:18 is saying. Let me read it one more time. Then Jesus came to them and said, everyone say all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So, what does all this mean? Here's the big point. When it comes to our problems, the struggles we're facing, we need to get the boss involved. We've got to get the boss involved. Jesus is the boss, all right? He has the authority. It's kind of like this. Think of it like this. If you're in the workplace and you're having conflict or a problem with another coworker, who do you go to? The boss, yes. You get the boss involved. Say, hey, boss, there's a problem here. Need your help to fix that. And the boss comes in, I'm the boss, right? That's how Evan does it when Cheryl and I are... No, I'm just... Yeah. You want to see that now, don't you? Yeah. You'd love that, yeah. You get the boss involved when there's a problem between you and another coworker. Or take this example. Let's say you're a customer at a particular place, and the person that's helping you is just treating you like garbage, right? And you're like, whoa, there's absolutely no way that you should be treating me that way. I want to speak to your manager, your boss, yes. Right? There's nothing wrong with getting the manager involved when the employee is disrespecting you as the consumer or as the customer. We get the boss involved. We say, I want to speak to your manager about this. I don't like the way you're treating me. Those of you who have siblings, and maybe this applies to some of our teens and kids that are in the room. If you got siblings and you're squawking with each other and you're fighting with each other, what do? You go to mom. You go to mom, that's it. Not dad, just mom. Okay, so now we know that in most of our households, mom's the boss. Yeah, okay. We go to mom and dad, don't we? We go and get mom and dad involved. When I was a kid, I'd have all kinds of struggles with my sisters. We'd fight all the time, and it would be, I'm going to get mom, I'm going to get dad, and we would do all that. We would go and get mom or dad. When there's conflict in the church, people are not getting along, whatever it may be, what do? Get the boss, the pastor, probably, of the church. We get the church involved, the people who are part of that process. We get the boss involved. Now, in the same way that we sometimes fail to go to Jesus when he's the authority, do we perfectly go to the boss, go to the manager, go to mom and dad, go to the pastor whenever there's a problem? Do we do that perfectly? No, not all the time. But it's not unreasonable to suggest that when you're having conflicts in those areas, you go and get the boss involved, correct? Because they are the authority in the workplace or in the home or in the church, wherever it is, to come and help solve and help restore whatever the problem is and bring peace and bring resolution and bring whatever it may be. So in the same way, when it comes to our spiritual problems, our guilt, our temptations, our sins, the impossible things we face, we go to the authority who is Jesus and say, Lord, I need you to step into this situation. I need your authority because I can't do it on my own. We need to get the boss involved. When we do, this is what we start to see happen in our life. Because Jesus has the authority to conquer your temptations. You will be able to say no to the temptation that is driving you away from God. Jesus has the ability, the authority to rob that temptation of the power it has over you to set you free from it. Jesus has the authority to forgive you of your sin so that when you are going through life and the enemy comes and reminds you of the wrong things that you have done, you can say, I'm forgiven. Jesus has canceled my debt when he died on the cross. He has set me free. I no longer live that old life. I now have new life in Christ. Jesus has the authority to provide for your needs, to add or to multiply whatever it is that is missing, if it's purpose, if it's financial struggle, if it's enough food, whatever it is, Jesus has the authority to provide so that you don't have to feel those anxieties about having enough. Jesus has the authority to step into your impossible situation, to heal your marriage, to help you lead your kids better, to help you get out of financial debt, whatever it might be, the impossible thing that you're facing. He has the authority to come in and fix that. Jesus has the authority to grant you eternal life. If you're going through life and you're just like afraid of death, not sure where to go, not sure what to do, he is the giver of life. There doesn't need to be any fear, any doubt, any worry. Because when we get the authority involved, when we get the boss involved, when we get Jesus into our situation, he comes in and he helps and he fixes and he sets us straight and he gives us guidance and he gives us wisdom and he gives us exactly what it is that we are lacking in whatever the situation is. So, now the big question is, how do we do this? How do we practically get the boss involved? Because it's one thing to just go, oh yeah, I need to get Jesus involved in that, and I haven't. Oh man, that sucks. What do I do now? I guess I'll just go home. No, how do we make this practical? What do we do? I'm going to give you four steps. Number one, when you are facing the problem, when you are facing that temptation, when you are going through anxiety, whatever it is, stop. Just stop. It's so easy that when, especially for us men, I think, when a problem comes our way, we want to just immediately try and fix it and try and do things our own way and try and figure it out. And what I'm saying to you is no, stop. Remove yourself from the scenario. Don't assume that you can or that you even should fix it. Don't let the urgency of the problem blind you and overwhelm you so that you just are paralyzed by it and go, oh, I don't know what to do now. Stop. After you have stopped and you've just accepted the fact that there is this problem and that there's nothing you can do about it on your own, step number two is to pray. Pray. We are to make our requests known to God through prayer and supplication. And so we pray. We make our requests to God and we say, Lord, you have the authority. This is the situation I'm in, and I need you to come in and help me, guide me, fix whatever this is. You need to pray. And after you've prayed, number three is to listen. And this might be the hardest part for some of you. I know it's hard for me sometimes because, if I'm honest, praying is kind of still me involved because I'm doing something. I'm actively participating in the process because I'm praying. So it's like, okay, good job, Brad, I'm praying. Okay, and now that I'm done praying, time to go do it on my own. No, after I've prayed, I gotta stay in that posture of stopping so that I can listen. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. To listen to his still, small voice that gives the solution, that gives the answer. To be in his word, reading and studying it, and listening to what he's saying. And then, step number four, and again, probably the hardest part in this process is obey what he says to do. Because again, I've done this lots of times. I've prayed. I've listened. Oh God, you want me to do that? Nah. I'm going to do it my own way again. No, we have to obey what he says to do. Sometimes what he says to do is not what we wanted him to say. Sometimes we don't like his answer. We go, that sounds hard, God. Don't want to really do that. For example, if it's your marriage falling apart, it might be that you got to start listening to your spouse. Oh, that's hard to do. It might be that if there's a conflict that you have to go and reconcile with that person. Oh, that's hard to do. If it's financial, God says you need to sacrifice and surrender this thing you're spending your money on or start tithing if that's not happening. Oh, that's hard to give up. That's hard to start doing. That's hard to do. We have to obey the voice of God. He has the authority, correct? We still agree with that premise. So when he says, do this, it's not up for debate. He's not just saying that on a whim. He's not just saying, oh, this might help. He's saying that with the authority of being the king and ruler over all. We can't argue and disagree with what God is saying to do. We have to obey what he is saying to do. If we want solutions to our problems and we decide we're going to get the boss involved, we got to do what the boss says to do. So, regardless of the problem, whatever it is you're facing, if you want to see solutions, if you want to experience freedom, if you want to experience peace, hope, love, joy, whatever it is that's lacking, get the boss involved and do that by stopping, praying, listening, and then finally obeying what he says to do. Because he has the authority. He is the boss.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.